You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Sider. I'm joined by Kevin Bowen of 107.5, 1070 The Fan. He's the Colts beat writer over there. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Excited for an awesome weekend of football here in the state and really the next couple weeks here for the Colts.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I was looking at DraftKings myself, Kevin. That Notre Dame Colts money line parlay for me, I might just go ahead and submit that because I really like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish chances on Sunday – or excuse me, on Saturday. Ooh. It's going to be going against Clemson. But let's talk about that Ravens game real quick before we dive into your overall thoughts on the Colts throughout the season so far. And we'll look ahead, of course, to the last couple months of the season where the Colts schedule is definitely going to get a lot tougher here. What's your overall assessment of this Colts team going against the Ravens on Sunday? Of course, they're missing Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey, two key guys on both sides of the ball here. But I feel like Chris Ballard's kind of built this team. I mentioned this earlier in the week on the podcast that this team is, I feel like, is sort of built to stop a guy like Lamar Jackson. Am I wrong there?
No, you know, it's something to where when you look at, you know, how Chris drafted in 2018 and 2019, I remember him specifically saying after taking Bobby Okereke in the third round in 2019 about, you know, not only is this how the offensive trend is kind of changing in the NFL where you need to have quicker athletic linebackers, but specifically at the time you thought within your own division, Deshaun Watson and Marcus Mariota, not to mention, you know, you had a Patrick Mahomes, you know, MVP season, you had Lamar Jackson emerging late, and then even a Josh Allen as well. So, I do think this is partially how he wanted to build it, and then also a little bit of, hey, we need to do this because the offenses that we're about to defend within our own division and our conference are changing as well. So what a great challenge, the most unique challenge, I think, offensively in the NFL, at least from a run game standpoint. This is certainly how you've kind of built your team, to get to this point, and I'm really eager for Sunday.
What's your thoughts, Kevin, on this defense so far this year? Of course, it's a softer schedule than what we'll see in November, December, but through seven games, the Colts are top five in the NFL, pretty much across the board in the most important statistics. What's been your assessment of them so far? I mean, of course, it was Malik Hooker in week two, but Julian Blackman really has maybe exceeded expectations or maybe even been better than Malik Hooker in the role that the Colts want to play for their free safety. Of course, no Kamoko Ture so far this year. We'll have to find out whether he plays on Sunday or not. But DeForest Buckner, too, I mean, you can't say enough about him, how he's changed his defense. It's crazy to say, Kevin, in 2020, the Colts now are led by their defense to their offense after all these years.
It is. It's definitely crazy to say that. When you look at how even I didn't think, given the soft schedule, that they'd be this dominant defensively in what they've been able to do through the first seven games. And, you know, the run defense, it's probably taken for granted how great it's been. It continues to be the most consistent aspect of Matt Eberflus in his 3 years here in Indianapolis. But then you look at the back end. I mean, I think they lead the NFL in passer rating allowed. I want to say they're tied for first in interceptions. So, you know, to be that stingy after what we saw week one and then to take away the ball like you're doing and scoring off that, yeah, it's been remarkable. And you rattled off some of the names. I mean, you know, it's Buckner, it's Xavier Rhodes, you know, looking like a player that, you know, he was in 2017 with Minnesota. Obviously, Julian Blackman being inserted in the starting lineup, you know, he's playing at a different level as well. You know, Grover Stewart showing up more. Matt Eberflus, I think, willing to adjust a little bit with his scheme as well. You can check so many boxes to where this unit is playing at a level that this franchise has not seen in quite some time.
Let's put her to Philip Rivers now, of course, Kevin, who's had his ups and downs a little bit through the first 7 weeks. Of course, that Jaguars game, he was awesome in that, going outside the two interceptions, but that cost him that game, where the defense really was mostly to blame for that one. But the Browns game, a really rough one for him too, the safety, the pick six as well. But outside of those two instances, Kevin, I feel like Rivers has been exactly what we've been asked for and possibly more. I mean, with the lack of a running game too, I think it's even more impressive what Rivers is doing right now.
Yeah, I think that last point that you make is really the thing that stands out to me the most. I mean, you know, quote unquote, promised him a better run game, something he never really had, at least not in the past decade, with the Chargers. And yet you haven't given him that. And yet he's played better than he did last season. And even with a banged up wideout group as well, which isn't anywhere near the wideout group that the Chargers have. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's been slightly better than you would expect with Rivers. Have there been ups and downs? Hasn't been constant entertainment? Yeah, because that's what he's going to give you. But he's torching the blitz. The pass protection, you know, with him helping out in that area has been outstanding. And he's creating more chunk plays for this offense in the passing game. And that was sorely missed last season. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're giving him a high B right now if you're grading him. And if you're going to tell me this rushing offense is going to give you that, I might even bump that grade up a little bit more. So, just really, really good work from Rivers. And I think you got to be pleased right now with what you're getting from the quarterback play. You wanted improvement. It's going to cost a lot, but they've gotten that improvement.
I asked Jim Iello of the Indy Star this earlier this week on the podcast, Kevin, just about his prediction for if Rivers is back next year. I'd be shocked at this point, Kevin, unless you see this a complete collapse on Rivers' part, that he will be the quarterback in 2021. What say you?
Yeah, I probably sided that thinking as well. I mean, I thought it would have to take something drastic for a Rivers to want to hang it up. I mean, the guy just moved his family, you know, across the country on two different occasions here in the past, you know, few months. And then secondly, you know, what other options do the Colts have? And I'm of the belief that I think they should look long and hard at a first-round pick at the quarterback position. But I don't view them as a franchise that necessarily would want to hand the keys right away to that, you know, future first-round pick or, you know, whatever, some early draft pick. So, I thought this would be kind of a two-year marriage. And unless something just crazy happened here in the final – 9 games of the season, I think it's looking like it's going to be that.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, too, with this rushing attack, looking at that, I mean, mentioned before, Rivers, he's really doing a lot without it. You have to wonder just what's going on with this rushing attack right now. Of course, Marlon Mack has really been missed, Kevin. We see right now, John Taylor really is struggling as far as adjusting the NFL. We said the same thing about Marlon Mack in 2017, too, but Jordan Wilkins maybe gets that spark for them, and last week in Detroit, maybe we see him start this week against Baltimore, but who's to blame here for the rushing attacks woes so far in 2020?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're making a pie chart, there's a lot of people on that list. I think the offensive line needs to be better because, you know, as much as you know, people want to say, well, it's a Jonathan Taylor issue, look at Nyheim Hines' yards per carry. Look at Jordan Wilkins' yards per carry entering Sunday. I mean, very small. I'd say under 4 yards for both of those guys as well. So, again, I'd put more of it kind of on the point of attack. And when you group run blocking, it's not just the O-line. Yes, that's a huge part of it. But I don't think the tight ends and the wideouts have blocked at the level that you need them to be blocking at either. So I would point that there. Yes, a little bit of Jonathan Taylor. Certainly, just I think there's just an indecisiveness, a tentativeness. Let's be honest, he's facing a lot different looks than he did at Wisconsin. I mean, that's just life in the NFL. And so I think that's played into it a bit. You know, maybe just not on the same page from a communication standpoint, which is kind of wild to say. But, you know, I go back to Sunday and think, man, are all the run checks getting across? Are they the right run checks? I tend to trust Philip Rivers mentally, but I don't know. Maybe that's been some of it as well. And I do think there's an element of they just try to force the run game a little bit too much. And I know Frank Reich's a big tendency play call guy, but still I think there's a time to – you know, not totally abandon it, but, you know, try to get, you know, whatever, a little bit more of a short rhythm passing game, and that supplements what you're lacking in the run game, something like that. So a lot of different areas that I would point to blame.
Yeah, you have to wonder, too, as well, looking forward here with this rush, or this offense for the Colts. It's crazy to say in 2020, Kevin, that T.Y. Hilton really has been a non-factor, but it's been over a calendar year now since he scored a touchdown for the Colts. What's been your thoughts on T.Y. so far in 2020? I know, of course, you get a lot questions on your podcast about T.Y.'s future. Just what's your overall assessment of what's going on there with T.Y.?
You know, it's weird, Evan. I don't think it's as much physical. Like, if you were to show me these are his stats through the first 7 games, I'd be like, oh, gosh, is he hurt? Is he over the hill? Like, but I don't think it's that. I mean, I feel like he is creating some separation. He's had some chances. The drops are just maddening because he's been such a reliable catcher of the football throughout his career. But still, I mean, I'm sure it is a slight physical decline. You know, some opposing corners just kind of swallowing him up a little bit more. But yeah, it hasn't been great. And, you know, Philip Rivers has never been a big, you know, kind of small wideout guy. You know, it's kind of been more the bigger wideouts. I don't know if that has played into it some. Yes, I think T.Y.'s been a bit snake-bitten as well. But certainly, you know, for his own good in a contract year and for the Colts' good, they desperately need T.Y. Hilton as of now to get healthy, as it doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday, and then obviously produce like a number one wideout. I know spreading the football around is great, this and that. You want an alpha. I mean, you want. We all watch Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, whoever else you want to throw into that group around the league. You want a guy that can not only command this sort of attention, that can open things up for other guys, but also just go freaking win one-on-one and do that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and that's the big question too, especially just with the Colts right now. Missing Paris Campbell after week two has really hurt this receiving core, in my opinion. It looked like they had big plans for him throughout this season. Have you heard any updates about Paris Campbell internally, Kevin, about if he could be coming back this year? Because if he does, I mean, that's going to be a huge jolt to this offense, especially with the way T.Y.'s been playing. Michael Pittman Jr. has been struggling here and there a little bit. Zach Pascal's really the only reliable guy right now, it seems like, in the receiving core. I think if Paris comes back, it really changes the equation.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really heard anything internally. They're pretty mum. Now, from a physical, like, doctor standpoint, I've just talked to some people, and they seem to indicate – I mean, this is a 2 to 3 month injury for sure. So I would say December at best. But again, you know, if you're going to get in there December, he'd have to start practicing pretty soon. And really, you aren't practicing at all next week with a short week. So I'm not holding my breath too much. You know, if you get in the playoffs, obviously that can change some things. And you know, you can leave them, you know, leave that door a little bit open there. And of course, you got away, you know, late in the year, just, okay, yes, we'd love to have him back. But then also, I mean, he's such a key piece to your future and has been injury prone here in the NFL. So that's something you got away as well. But yeah, I'm not expecting the Paris Campbell return anytime soon.
Yeah, whenever it happens, if it does this year, it'll be a big boost to the Colts. But let's move on here, Kevin, to – I know it's a crazy question to say because we talked about all last year, honestly, when you're on the podcast, but the special teams and kicking game has been a huge upgrade so far this year. Of course, Hot Rod Rodrigo Blankenship missing 2 extra points in a dome last week. Maybe it's cause for concern. Hopefully that's not the case because they actually cut Matt Gay off their practice squad earlier today. What do you think of the special teams play so far in 2020? Where honestly, Kevin, you've tweeted multiple times out on your own account that Rigoberto Sanchez has been one of the best players this year. The special teams unit has been awesome. Isaiah Rodgers gets that touchdown in Cleveland. Naheem Hines, of course, is your punt returner. And even Blankenship is a big upgrade over what Vinatieri was last year. What's just your overall opinion of the special teams group and their improvements this year?
Yeah, I mean, let's not focus on recency bias too much. I mean, they've been darn good, darn good. You know, I wrote an article earlier this week, kind of reasons for hope or reasons for concern with another 5-2 start, you know, after how we saw last year unfold. And one of the reasons for hope was you're getting winning special teams. And you just laid out so many reasons why. You know, Hot Rod is making kicks that you weren't making last year. Rigoberto Sanchez is one of the best players at his position for the Colts. Like you said, the return game has sparked some things. You've won some hidden yardage. Certainly Sunday was not good. You can't have punts being blocked on, you know, miscommunication, misassignment, whatever it was. And then also, you can't be missing 2 extra points indoors. And I know the first one was kind of an awkward snap. You know, Sanchez still got it down. You just can't miss a 33-yard extra point. So, yeah, I've been very, very pleased with that group. They've been a huge part in you controlling games from the onset, especially their late September, early October as well. And, you know, when you play these elite teams like you're playing coming up and there's a little bit of questions about you offensively, you might not be as dominant on the defensive side of the ball. You certainly need your special teams to try and, you know, sneak a short field or, you know, you hear it all the time, half-court offense, full-court defense, you know, based off your punt coverage or your punt return or your kick coverage or your kick return units. Those have got to be in store for you.
Kevin, how do you stack up the Colts this year compared to the rest of the AFC? Like near the top, of course, you have the Chiefs, you have the Ravens, the Steelers this year are still undefeated as well. But where do you put the Colts in that cluster, Kevin? I know they haven't played a tough schedule this year. It's really going to start this upcoming Sunday through the rest of the year. But unlike last year, Kevin, like we hit on before, like Jacoby Brissett was their quarterback that had like a +6 point differential through the first 7 games. This time around, it's in the +60 point differential range. This Colts team seems for real to me. We're going to find out, of course, more in the next couple of weeks, Kevin, but where do you put them in that cluster compared to not only the AFC, but also just the last year's 2019 Colts?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely, you know, if when you and I have this conversation in a month, you know, we're going to have a much more of a clear answer on this. I would say I think Pittsburgh and Kansas City deserve to be on a tier by themselves. I think they've shown that this season. Pittsburgh is just incredibly balanced on both sides of the ball. We know what Kansas City can do from a potency standpoint. And I would say in that next tier, you know, I think the Colts are kind of in there. We're going to find out. But I think they're in with Tennessee and Baltimore. I'd probably still throw Buffalo in there. I know they've had a few hurdles. And I would think the Colts, and that's probably about it. I mean, I know the Colts lost to Cleveland. I'm not that big of a believer in Cleveland sustaining this over 16 weeks. I know the Raiders are right there. They came to Lucas Oil Stadium, beat the Colts last year. But I don't know if I'm ready to group them there. Miami still has got to show me a little bit more as well. But certainly, what a great measuring stick for the Colts coming up. I mean, they have played by far the easiest schedule in the NFL. But that's going to change in a hurry. And twice in 5 days and through the rest of the month of November. And then a trip to Vegas and a trip to Pittsburgh in December. You know, what more do you want as a fan? I mean, that's just – I just think fans should absolutely be loving this time to see their team week in and week out play some great football games the rest of the season. Even a couple games watching them play Deshaun Watson or watching them try to exact some revenge on Jacksonville after what happened week one. I mean, there's no lulls in this schedule the rest of the way. So really exciting time for Colts fans.
Let's hit on this gauntlet, Kevin. The last few questions here on the show. Appreciate the time as always. Just going over the Colts schedule the next couple months, especially this next month, Titans twice, you know, Thursday Night Football after this Ravens game on Sunday, Green Bay sandwich between them as well. And from there, it gets no easier. Like you mentioned, Kevin, Deshaun Watson twice in a three-week span, have to go to Vegas, you have to go at Pittsburgh in late December. Jacksonville, I'm already just counting as an automatic win at this point, Kevin, because it seems like they're really trying to get in that Trevor Lawrence race after that win in week one. I mean, honestly, Kevin, how do you see this going for them? I mean, we just talked about it. It's really hard to tell right now, but this is really a make or break point for the Colts this year to see if they're truly a contender or a pretender in the AFC.
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, would fall into that category. I mean, just awesome challenges, like I was saying, you know, and I think very different challenges, you know, Baltimore, you know, with this crazy looking offense, but runs it really well, super physical, you know, blitzing defense. Then you get to Thursday and Tennessee on a short week that provides its own challenge, much more of a traditional rushing game. But, you know, the best running back in the NFL coming downhill at you. And then Green Bay, you know, 2 weeks from Sunday, we saw on Thursday night what Aaron Rodgers can do. And obviously we've seen what he can do all season long. So, yeah, I mean, and then you get into the month of December and you know, a great matchup if you're in the wild card race or who knows where you're going to be. But Vegas-wise, you know, potentially you could get a little head-to-head tiebreaker. And I still think the two games against Houston won't be pushovers as long as Watson is healthy. And then obviously Pittsburgh, if they're still playing for something in week 16, remember only one bye this year. So they could be playing for something as well. So yeah, I mean, it's just one of the, I think it's ranked as the eighth toughest schedule to end the year. I think it's tougher than that because I don't look at Houston as 1-6 as you know, what that record indicates. I think they're better than that, or at least they scare you more than that, I should say. So yeah, just an awesome, awesome challenge. And you know, this was kind of Chris Ballard's biggest 2019 question. How do we finish better? How do we not wilt down the stretch? Well, now you're going to find out the answer to that.
Kevin, before I let you go here as well, just really a quick assessment of maybe any surprises you've seen so far this year. It's been a while since we talked here on the podcast. Like anyone, really a player or maybe a staff or maybe just like a tweak or something and like plays, play calling or anything that's really caught you off guard this year, either a positive or a negative way so far?
Oh, boy, that's a good one, Evan. You know, I would say the biggest negative is probably the run blocking and the run game in general. Surprise, I mean, if you're going to tell me halfway through the year, you know, Julian Blackman is appearing on some all-pro, you know, maybe honorable mention list and or all rookie even teams, and Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman aren't, you know, that would have been a surprise if you're going to make me rank those rookies. Xavier Rhodes, certainly a positive surprise. The emergence of Grover Stewart taking another step forward. He's been a surprise, you know, negatively, obviously T.Y.'s kind of demise. Hot Rod, you know, largely has been a surprise, I think, although he hasn't kicked anything too long, but still has been pretty steady within 45 yards. So, and the defense, you know, especially after week one, to see that finally be the ultimate wake-up call, I would say that would fall into that surprise category as well.
Kevin, I always enjoy talking with you, man. You guys can go follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at KBowen1070. And please go listen to his podcast as well, Kevin's Corner. They're actually doing a Beers with Bowen event here this upcoming week, so make sure to virtually tune into that one. Kevin, appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks, Evan, for the plug there for Beers with Bowen, and always love hopping on with you, and hopefully we can catch up here again before the end of the regular season.